when, let's say, one corporation or a conglomeration of corporations monopolizes an aspect of the economy, it's bad. They can sort of set prices at their whim. They eliminate competition. They exclude people from, you know, free participation in the market. They drive prices up. I mean, all that is seen as unhealthy within a capitalist system. You know, a feature of Catholic social teaching that I think is often overlooked or at least misunderstood is a certain animus against the concentration of power within a society. Catholic social teaching wants power distributed as widely as possible, which seems fairer and actually more efficient. Now, we can see it maybe most readily in the economic order, but this obtains too in the political order and the cultural order. Hyper-concentrations of power, Catholic social teaching thinks is a bad thing. Let's look at it now first economically, again, maybe the most obvious. When, let's say, one corporation or a conglomeration of corporations monopolizes an aspect of the economy, it's bad. They can sort of set prices at their whim. They eliminate competition. They exclude people from, you know, free participation in the market. They drive prices up. I mean, all that is seen as unhealthy within a capitalist system. Go back now to the early 20th century and Theodore Roosevelt's trust busting. Well, it was against that kind of monopolizing within the economy. Or think today, just very recently in Congress, there are moves against, you know, Google and Facebook and some of the big tech conglomerates. Because the same thing, there was too much power economically being concentrated in one place. You know, I know when you talk about, well, therefore you're calling for the redistribution of wealth, it makes people nervous because they think right away of the government doing that. Well, Catholic social teaching does indeed think the government can do that to some degree. Take trust busting as one example. Minimum wage requirements, you know, limitations to the workday, other ways that the government can regulate the economy. Taxation itself is a kind of redistribution of the wealth. But Catholic social teaching also holds that the natural rhythms of a market economy can accomplish this. Think of John Paul II in Centesimus Annus says that profit-making itself is a way of redistributing the wealth. Now, why? Well, because if you're noticing, look, that guy's making tons of money in that segment of the economy, that means I can get involved. There's money to be made. I can maybe propose a more efficient product. And the healthy competition that ensues is a way of distributing wealth and power within the economy. Again, the ideal is to avoid these hyper-concentrations, which can become tyrannical. So that's the economic order. But it's also true in the political order. Now, obviously the case in certain forms of dictatorship. Think of the oppressive tyrannies of the 20th century. Think of certain theocracies on the scene today. When there's a hyper-concentration in one party or one perspective, that can lead to forms of tyranny. But, you know, if you think, oh, well, that's all just kind of distant business, it doesn't really apply to me, I don't know. Look at my home state of California. Try running as a pro-life politician in California or Illinois or Massachusetts. I think you'll see what the hyper-concentration of political power looks like. When there's a state or city that's been governed by one party for decades, that's almost a formula for political corruption. So Catholic social teaching wants, in the political order, power to be more widely distributed. A wide variety, perhaps, of political parties, political perspectives. Maybe things like term limits, not allowing politicians or certain parties to dominate a system. So again, spreading out, in this case, political power. We can also see it in the cultural order. Again, extreme examples. Look in the 20th century, in Nazi Germany or in Soviet Russia. when there was, you know, one form of art, one form of pictorial representational art was deemed acceptable. Socialist realism in Russia, the Nazis had their own, you know, very particular form. Every other type of artistic expression was censored or pilloried. This sort of thing, too, is a hyper-concentration of cultural power in one way. Now, again, lest you feel like, oh, well, those are weird things that happened far away and long ago, I don't know. Look at Hollywood today. Look at the TV shows and movies. Very often coming out of a very singular and restricted ideological perspective. Is there one type of art, in other words, one ideological aesthetic perspective that's seen as legitimate? Well, that excludes all sorts of people from participating in the cultural realm. It's a hyper-concentration of power. Catholic social teaching is against this sort of thing. It wants power, economic, political, cultural, to be widely distributed. Again, it doesn't mean this has to happen through state diktat. There's all kinds of means by which this sort of distribution can occur. And in fact, one of the most basic forms of justice affirmed by Catholic social teaching is called distributive justice. So to take the goods of the world, which have a universal destination, by the way, they're designed really for everybody, and to make sure they're distributed as widely and humanely as possible. You know what comes to mind here is one of my intellectual heroes, the great G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton, back in the 1910s and 20s, was advocating an economic theory that he called distributism. Now, it's coming from this idea, this Catholic idea of distributive justice. Chesterton was uneasy, obviously, with the forms of socialism and communism that were ascendant in his time, but he was also very uneasy with a sort of undisciplined, unconstrained capitalism or free market economy that also provided for a hyper-concentration of wealth. What he liked very much was a more local, widely distributed political and economic situation. Just recently, I was reading a very good commentary by the great Chesterton commentator, Dale Alquist, and he suggested that the term distributism has never really caught on. It is a little bit odd, you know, unless you see the connection to distributive justice. But he suggested as an alternative the term localism. And not bad, because Chesterton was against these kind of great conglomerations of power at the sort of upper level, economically, politically, culturally. And he liked what was closer to the ground, widely distributed within a society. So, distributism, localism. By the way, you want to see it on vivid artistic display, go get the Lord of the Rings movies. What you see in the Shire, because of course Tolkien was very influenced by Chesterton, what you see in the Shire, the hobbits living in simplicity, close to the ground, people running their own small businesses, making their own tools, etc. And notice Tolkien's great animus against Sauron, these people who had these, you know, great sort of industrial complexes. Well, that was his commentary against the kind of industrial capitalism of his own time. So again, Catholic social teaching, I think so often misunderstood and underappreciated, cuts against both the extreme left and the extreme right, calls for the universal distribution of goods as well as private property, wants power, which is seen as legitimate. Power's not a bad thing because God's all powerful, but it wants power distributed politically, economically, and culturally as widely as possible. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed that video, I encourage you to share it and be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel.